This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Chris and Amy Show is video streaming now on KMOX's YouTube, X, and Facebook pages. Click and subscribe.
You know what? I love the City Foundry. It's a really cool spot. It's a cool place right in the heart of our city, right in the middle of our city in Midtown. That's why they call it Midtown. And there is a lot happening there. There are new residential units that are there for people to move into. Of course, they've had the restaurants and they've had the bars, and I really enjoy going there. Well, there's a lot coming up this spring, even the full live, the art market, which is happening at City Foundry. To talk about that with us and everything going on there is Will Smith, president of New and Found, a St. Louis-based real estate development and investment firm. Will, it's good to have you with us on KMOX. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
So we are pretty excited about everything that's happened there, because we talk a lot on this show, and I think the station does too, about every little anything that St. Louis can get, whether it is an entertainment district like this one, or living spaces, or office buildings downtown, whatever it is. Every new development is great for us because we desperately need it. And City Foundry has been one of the great developments in the last couple of years.
Well, thank you. It's been quite a journey, especially when, if you think back to it, our planned opening was May of 2020. And we had to delay that a year and a half. But we've been really excited about the momentum it's built, and very excited to be bringing the live art market this summer.
Okay, I'm gonna give some, throw these numbers out here, Will, because you talk about the momentum. So taxable sales within the City Foundry Community Improvement District, so that whole area, was $1.97 million in 2021. Like you said, you had to delay the opening. In 2024, it was $56.2 million, a 2,700% increase. That's good.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you think about it, even before then, it had been a vacant foundry for about a decade.
And then with the different restaurants and shops, let's do this. How has it evolved from when it opened in 2021 to now? Like, what's in it?
Yeah, so when we opened in 2021, our original planned opening was to have many of our shops and restaurants and the food hall kind of all open at once. But coming out of COVID, we actually had to hit reset. Several of our tenants couldn't proceed. And so we just decided in the fall of 21 that we were going to open regardless the food hall. And I think we opened the food hall with about 12, 13 kitchens. We're now up to 19 kitchens in the food hall.
How much space is there total? How much? Yeah. If you completely maxed out,
it's roughly 340,000 square feet. We are fully occupied on our office, which has been phenomenal. entertainment, grocery store, Trufusant Fitness, a rooftop patio with Expat, City Winery, Alamo Drafthouse Movie Theater, and then numerous small local businesses, boutiques, and shops.
With this new round of tenants that are broadening City Foundry's offerings, what are we going to be looking at here?
Yeah, so we have both local and national. Mm-hmm. Most recently, we've opened Lux Redux Bridal. So it's one of our first national retailers, which has been very exciting because, again, we basically created a retail market. Before Foundry, you wouldn't have necessarily had a national retailer looking at Midtown St. Louis to bring mm-hmm. their location. We also have Injection Bar, which is a beauty services company.
Like a local. Botox bar?
That's my understanding.
Oh, great.
Oh, man. I will say, if anything COVID showed me when I had to wear the masks is that I'm just like sentient crow's feet. Like, that's what I felt like with the mask. I was like, I am just crow's feet with body attached.
Can this place take care of Amy's crow's
yes,
feet?
Yes, the Botox bar. Can they help me out?
I believe so. Okay. Yeah. I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, I might need that myself, actually. And then we have the Great Big Game Show and the Escape Game, a dual national experiential entertainment concept coming in. So a lot of really great momentum on the leasing front.
And then also, I was pulling up Google Maps because it's right next to, relatively speaking, St. Louis University, like within a half mile, right? The Foundry and St. Louis University?
Yeah, one block.
One block.
Yeah.
So
edge of the campus is pretty much right there.
My friends who went there 20 years ago, they're like, wait a minute, for SLU students now, you're one block from the Foundry, and then there's also the Midtown development with the Target and all of that. I mean, it's completely revolutionized Midtown. What a great spot.
Absolutely. And what's been exciting, too, is between the new apartment building built on Foundry's campus mm-hmm. and then the student housing being built right adjacent to Foundry, we're looking at an additional 1,000 residents mm-hmm. right there as well. And I do know that with the Fresh Thyme, they've seen continual year-over-year growth in their sales as well.
I love that grocery store, by the way.
Oh, Fresh Thyme?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good.
And that one right in Midtown, so convenient. Love it.
I have driven past the residentials. There are now a couple of them. One of them is still being constructed. Is that right? I'm a little confused. I know I keep seeing it. I know there are always trucks there.
And yes, Vandeventer like has been closed for like 2 years.
Yeah. So how much of that is occupied right now or rented out or purchased or whatever you got
so
going
So one
on?
Of them is student housing.
Okay.
And my understanding with student housing is that kind of all occurs, starts around the beginning of the summer. So they should be leasing up very quickly. We've been leasing up since early winter last year, and leasing's been going strong. And we'll be looking at about 270 units at full lease up.
There, when you build something like that, there's always going to be adjustments and, you know, restructuring or whatever over the years. But what is the ultimate goal for that entire area? If you can look back and say, this is what we want it to be, what would that be?
I think we want it to be a mixed-use urban environment. It's interesting. I saw some comments on Reddit talking about how it's a suburban-style development, which it was an interesting critique. But we really want to bring together all the different uses. You can live there. You can work there. The community can come together there. So we see more housing. We see more retail. We like density. The more dense a site becomes, the less reliant on cars you need to have. It's great that we are near Metrolink as well. We're right near the SLU campus. Mm-hmm. And so now what we're doing with this live art market is we're trying to bring more live performance and artists there, kind of what we have seen in our travels across the country that are a place that the local community can come together and know that they're going to they're going to experience new things. They're going to experience new local performances and artists.
So that market will begin on the 21st of May.
That is
correct. And it's just going to be a Wednesday night thing, right? And it runs through about
June 35th.
June 35th, it says right here. So it's not running through June 35th, but it does run for a couple of months.
Yes, we're going to go till June 25th initially. Okay. The idea is to be able to go beyond then, but it's going to be initially awesome. That 1 month. We started with just an idea of having buskers and live performers, and when we started engaging the community and trying to find performers and artists to come down, it was really wonderful. We had a flood of other community organizations that wanted to be a part of it. So Kranzberg Arts Foundation mm-hmm. is going to be helping with the buskers. The Regional Arts Commission, in partnership with Mastermind, is going to be doing live music and his Master Camp series. Pate Lewis came as well.
And yeah. You guys are making the announcement of all like the performers today, right? Or not? Is that announcement today?
No, we're not going to. A lot of it's going to be around discovery. I mean, I think okay. At a very high level, there's those, I'd say, larger organizations and the partnerships of Kranzberg Arts Foundation, Pate Lewis, Regional Arts Commission, Mastermind, a magician, Gavin Yang, and then we're actually doing a lecture series with UMSL as well. Mm-hmm. So all of these different mm-hmm. groups came to us. But then as we go along, the individual performers will be releasing, and it will be a bit of a discovery of who's down there at any given point in time.
You know, I saw here that the Foundry is one of the most visited attractions in the region, next to the St. Louis Zoo and the Gateway Arch, which, of course, two absolute behemoths in the tourist world here in St. Louis. Do you know the breakdown of your visitors at the Foundry? Like, are a lot of people coming from the county? Are people coming from Illinois? Is it people local to the city?
It's definitely the region, the whole region. Illinois, St. Charles, St. Louis nice. County. Yeah. I mean, I think our trade area for 80% of our traffic is like 50-mile radius. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the whole region that's coming together. And that's been really exciting too, because I think St. Louisans like to beat up on ourselves in terms of what's going on in the city or whether people want to come down to the city. And 2.1 million people coming to Foundry every year kind of would disagree with the sentiment that there's nothing cool to do in the city.
Well, and I think there's the regional bias where it's really hard to get those of us who live east, like east of 170. It's hard to get, hard to get those of us who live further east to go west of 270. We're like, ugh, I'm not going west of 270. And people who live west of 270 don't go east of McKnight. And it's like this divide where they're like, we just want to stay in our area. That's at least growing up. We would always joke that my friends who lived further east, they never wanted to come out to West County, and people in West County never wanted to go further east. And this is one of those places where it's the Foundry itself is not just an event, but what a fun day if you were to swing by the Arch and then come back to the Foundry, eat dinner, walk around, listen to some music, or go to the zoo earlier in the day and then go to the Foundry.
Absolutely. And that's we also have data on where people are going. And that's exactly what we're seeing, is people are making a whole day out of it. A lot of our traffic is coming down before or after sports games as well, which has been great to see. And so, you know, we want it to be a destination that people come to time and time and time again.
That's, I'll tell you what, I went to the city winery. It was just a couple mm-hmm. of months ago. We had sort of a station gathering there, and I know about City Winery. I'd seen the one in Chicago, and I know that I think they're all over the country, aren't they? There are a handful at least. And we're in the place, and all these people start coming in, and they're walking to the back, and I go, where are they going? And you open up the door, and there's this huge, like, music venue.
Yeah.
You would have no idea it's there unless somebody told you it was there, and it's really, really cool. So it's just one of the cool things that's down at the Foundry.
Well, there's so many opportunities to discover. Hopefully you've been to Noda, None of the Above, which is our speakeasy.
Speakeasy.
Yeah.
I've not been invited.
Gerard Kraft?
Yes. Yeah.
Speakeasy?
Yes.
You haven't been invited.
Well, we were supposed to go there after, I think, the Christmas party, but something happened.
Well, he wasn't. We'd love to host you.
Yeah. All right.
It was an invite.
Okay, great. I'm in. I'd love to go.
Because he didn't get invited to the Women of Achievement luncheon either.
Didn't get invited to that.
So,
do I have to be invited to the speakeasy?
No, you can.
I can just go.
You can go. Reservations would probably be recommended.
Is there a code word?
No code word currently.
Okay.
So
that'd be pretty cool.
It's Gerard.
It is Gerard. It's always Gerard. That's the best. All right. So
very cool.
The live art market again starts up May 21st. Is it free to just go there and,
yes.
and be there?
Awesome.
I'm assuming it's outdoors, right?
Yes, it'll be blended within the space. Okay. A lot of it will be occurring outdoors. Some of it will be inside. As an example, you know, really excited about this partnership with UMSL as a part mm-hmm. of it, which yeah. will be this lecture series. And so they're going to be bringing different humanities PhD professors down, and they're just going to lecture on interesting topics that you wouldn't necessarily think to look up. So yep. you can grab a drink, grab something to eat, and just kind of enjoy that lecture. And all of these professionals, whether they're artists mm-hmm. or professors, it's all funded. So it's free to the public. Awesome. And I would also mention parking is often a concern. There's
free.
There's 1,000 free spaces
yep.
awesome. on the Foundry campus, and then immediately adjacent to the Foundry campus, we know there's about 3,000 additional parking spaces available.
And this is all ages?
All ages. Four.
Yes.
Yep.
I did ask that once. It sounds like a simple question, but I asked it once about like a beer festival at the art museum, and the guy was like, no, it's just alcohol. So anyway, this one is all ages.
This is yes. all
Bring
ages.
Bring the family. Lots yeah. of parking. That's a big note for especially people in the county to know. There's lots of parking.
Lots of
free
parking.
Yes, free parking.
Yep.
The live art market starts May 21st. It is a Wednesday, runs every Wednesday through the 25th of June. It's free to go down to the City Foundry and check it out. We appreciate you, Will Smith, with New and Found. Thank you for coming by to talk to us about this.
Thank you for having me.
It's Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm one of the 20%. I'm one of the...
That doesn't have a real ID.
Yeah, and that number is going down by the minute because everybody's getting theirs today.
Except for in New Jersey, where 70% of people don't have a real ID. What in the world happened in New Jersey that they're so unprepared?
I didn't know that New Jersey...
You did know that because it was my Did You See This a couple of weeks ago. CBS News looked at all the different states, 30 states.
And they had the highest...
Well, most states had like 70% of people have the real ID.
Yeah.
But in New Jersey, 70% of people don't have the real ID.
That would be about?
Like why?
Yeah. What is it about New Jersey?
Well.
Maybe is it because their DMVs are really efficient?
And that's why nobody's getting
Yeah, they're
them?
Like, I don't have to worry about it now. I'll get it the day
so.
Of.
Hey,
But they have, if you have been listening to the station today, you heard the Secretary of State in Illinois, Lexi Janulius, telling you that you do not have to get it today. Like, if you're not flying today, you can still get it after today. This is not like a deadline where if you get pulled over, you're in serious trouble.
Yeah, no, it's not like that.
This is only for flying.
And apparently, allegedly, according to Total Information AM this morning and an interview Megan Lynch did, there's a 2-year grace period where if you do not have a real ID and you have to fly next week or a month from now or 3 months from now.
Extra screening.
You'll, yes, you get pulled aside, but they said it's not supposed to take longer. It's not necessarily extra screening. It's just a different line because they said, allegedly, it's not going to hold you up or anyone else up any longer,
yeah.
But you will have to go to a different line. Or you can bring a passport if you don't have your real ID, and the passport, of course, would work just as well. But yes, I believe there's a 2-year grace period. I would say just get the real ID, but you don't have to go today.
No, I mean, they will do extra screening, a separate screening process. They will take you out of line. If you don't mm-hmm. have the real ID mm-hmm. and you try to get on a plane, they will, and you don't, yeah, they will take you out of line and they will beat you. You will get a severe beating from TSA.
I have a quick question before we
move on. Let me check on that and make sure that's true.
If you don't have
a real ID, will they beat you up? No, they will not. I was wrong about that.
Have you ever cleaned your shower while you're in your shower, like right before you take a shower?
So you asked this question earlier. Can I tell everybody what Matt Pajeski said?
Yes.
So first of all, ask the question again, and then I'm going to tell you what Pajeski said.
Hey, guys, I have a question.
Yeah.
Have you ever cleaned your shower like right before you took a shower, like you are in the nude, you get in the shower and you clean the shower and then you take a shower? And Matt said,
why would you clean your shower?
Yeah.
Soap and water, baby.
That's not how it works. You can't just...
It's a fact. What's so dirty about soap and water? What are you going to clean it with? Soap and water?
There's mildew.
Nah, not my shower. It's got a nice pink hue to it. I think that means it's a nice clean...
That's not what that means.
That's mildew. And there's black mold in the corners where it's like the... Well, it looks like the grout's turning black.
Yep.
Ugh. Is that what that is?
Yeah.
So do you or not? And I'm not talking about the leave-in shower spray. Well, so basically I have some Clorox bathroom foaming cleaner and you scrub the tiles and all that. And I was going to do that and I forgot. And I was getting ready to get in the shower. So I grabbed some paper towels and I grabbed the Clorox cleaner. And I will say after a couple of minutes, my eyes started to burn and I thought, should I be in here with all this bleach? And I feel like the answer is no.
Well, you were doing it while you were showering?
Yes.
That doesn't even make any sense.
Well, I got in the shower and I was like scrubbing the walls and the shower door and the tile, right? You're scrubbing it. And then you rinse the walls down with a cup, right? Because I don't have one of those pull-off handheld. I had to like fill up a cup of water and rinse the walls down painstakingly.
You're not supposed to do that.
I know. I think that was a mistake because then I had to take my contacts out.
It's very clearly a mistake.
Well, now the shower is squeaky clean. I can tell you that.
That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. The Cardinals beat Paul Skeens again. And today they are going to try and take the Pirates once again. 12:15 first pitch. But next we've got the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney. He joins us coming up on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Now, the John Rooney Conversation on KMOX. Sponsored by Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance. And if you're a Missourian, we're for you.
Russo's pitch is hit hard to center field. Right there's Victor Scott. He has it for a Redbird winner. Light it up in downtown St. Louis as the Cardinals beat the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight 2-1.
Now the Cardinals did it again. They beat Paul Skeens last night. They will finish up the series with the Pittsburgh Pirates today. 12:15 is the first pitch. We have the pregame show on 104.1 FM KMOX at 11:20. It's time to bring in the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney. You just heard him on that highlight. And he's with us now getting ready for the game today. What's going on, John?
You're exactly right. I'm getting ready for the game today. They didn't light up the fireworks right away last night. It took them about 25 seconds.
Well,
so whoever had the push button on the fireworks, like, oh, we won.
Well, isn't that if you're the push button?
They didn't light it up immediately. I'm counting on that sound effect in the background. So I almost said, well, then don't light it up, but celebrate anyhow.
Well, listen, how does that even happen? Because isn't that really your one job?
Your one job.
Is the fireworks button.
I'm not sure who's in charge. I'm not going to be pointing fingers. I'm not that kind of person.
Maybe the wick was damp.
Well, that's not how they do it.
What?
They don't go out there and light them individually.
It could be a damp
wick. That's not. They don't do it like that.
Well, you know, what they do is when the ball goes off the bat, they light the fuse. And then by the time it's caught, then the fireworks go off. That's probably what happened. You know, one of the best fireworks stories, Rick Sutcliffe pitching, and he'd given up some home runs.
Yes.
And the pitching coach comes out, and he goes, "What are you doing out here?" He said, "I'm just giving the fireworks guy time to reload."
Such a great story.
That's a really great line.
I love that so much. Well, I don't know what it is about playing the Pirates and playing against Paul Skeens, but the Cardinals, I mean, he only gave up two runs last night, so it's not like he pitched terribly or anything. He had a pretty good start, but they seem to find a way to beat him all the time.
No, it's not like they got to him in Pittsburgh, but last night it was a good old-fashioned country pitching duel in Libertor. He bent giving up one run, and then the Cardinals came right back and got two, and they did it with two outs. Started with a hit by Nolan Arenado and then a walk for Contreras. And Burleson is really finding the stroke. He was able to time up a pitch, hit it the opposite way. It hit down on the track for a double, scoring two. And that was the ballgame, 2-1.
So another good one for the Cardinals here, who are trying to get themselves back to 500. How big of it, and they're one game under right now. Psychologically, for a baseball team, I know a lot of guys are aware of what their record is. Some guys may not be. They just go out there and play. But is there a big psychological benefit to getting to 500 and then getting back above it?
Oh, I think there is a little bit. This early in the season, though, I don't think many guys think about that. And the way baseball's going, I mean, Ricky and I were talking about it. He told me that the Cubs really gave it up last night.
They did.
Ended up losing. Right now, there is no one really dominating. I like the Mets. The Dodgers have a lot of firepower within their lineup. Their pitching has been pretty good so far. But even the Padres gave it up to the Yankees. And if you can just kind of hang in there, and these young guys have bought into what the Cardinals are doing. There are some tough at-bats, and really against tough pitching with Skeens in there yesterday. Santana looked pretty good, and Bednar, who has been struggling, did a pretty good job for the Pirates. But our hitters so far here in St. Louis, the young guys, they don't care what the score is, up or down. They go in there looking to provide a good at-bat, give themselves a chance to do some damage, or at least get on base so somebody else can. And that's why the Cardinals, who are 0-5 in one-run games, are learning to win the close ones. They've won five in a row now. They're 500 in the one-run games.
Yeah, you mentioned that Cubs-Giants game last night. They went to the 11th inning, and the Giants scored 9 runs in the top of the 11th.
Well, they're Giants, so they should. That's
a Giants score in that game.
Well, it can happen, and that's why I think the mindset of any team in Major League Baseball right now, you lay an egg one day, forget about it, come back because you have a chance to start something good the next. And I think that's what more people look at than the record or getting to 500 now. If you're after the All-Star break, though, you can't do a thing till you get to 500 and then make a charge, and that it might start weighing on some minds at that point, but I don't think it's all that important right now. They want to go out and win today, take care of today, and then when you look at the record down the road, we're 4 or 5 above, and we're on a roll. That's what they hope to accomplish and get that going.
John, you mentioned the young guys, and Gordon Graceffo had his first save opportunity of his big league career, and I imagine Ollie Marmol was pleased how it worked out. It worked out as planned.
Everything Graceffo's done since helping the team win over in Cincinnati and his two outings here, extremely impressive and something they were hoping to see about this time of his career. It's his time to perform up here. And normally, after just a couple of outings, you don't get those high leverage situations like that, but he earned it in doing what he did in Cincinnati to help the Cardinals sweep a doubleheader and then pitch a scoreless inning. He got a chance to do the same thing last night. And what they've seen out of Michael McGreevy, he's going to come back and help this team before it's over. But the Cardinals needed a fresh arm after he pitched as long as McGreevy did in helping the Cardinals sweep the Mets a doubleheader. So they sent him back, and Gordon came up and did his job for a couple of days, and I don't think he's available today, but what he's done for this team has really been a big boost for the bullpen. And that's a young arm the Cardinals have been looking at. They've been counting on to get here and make a contribution. And right now, he is making a contribution.
Sonny Gray is starting this afternoon against Mitch Keller of the Pirates. And for Gray, he is uncharacteristically not having the best start. What do you, as you've watched him pitch so far in the first month plus of the season, what have you seen from him?
Well, the other night against the Mets, he had way too much of the plate. And once Alonso hit the home run that put the Mets over the top, they didn't look back in that one. And Sonny had some of those games in spring training, but it's spring training, and he pitched much better when the season started. And I think he'll be all right. He doesn't have as much on the fastball as he used to, but this is a guy who has relied on command and control. And when he has the command and control and his sweeper working, then his fastball seems to be a little more effective, even though it doesn't quite have the zip to it that it used to. But if he's not hitting his spots and he's picking up too much of the plate, that's when they're hitting him, and they've been hitting him for some distance. But Sonny Gray knows what he wants to go out there to do. It's a matter of execution, and I think he's going to be successful a lot more times than not.
Again, he does start the game today. He's 3-1 on the season, a 4.12 ERA. He usually does not have an ERA that high, so we'll see if he starts to turn it around today. I wanted to ask you about what happened a couple of nights ago. I was watching along and listening to KMOX, listening to the call.
It's a good thing you listen to the station.
Yeah, I try.
That's good. John, I think Steve Moore appreciates that.
Yeah, you know what? He should. He should appreciate everything I do for him, quite honestly. So
let's lay it on. Let's pour it on. Hey, nice working with you, Ron.
He appreciates everything you do. It's not a lot, but...
He appreciates everything you did. That's what's going to happen.
Wait, am I on vacation now?
You're on assignment.
Might be a long assignment up here. Keep it up. Just keep pouring it on.
Anyway, Steve really owes me, if we're being honest. But I was watching the replay situation that happened with Victor Scott coming around
to
score. Yes, he was safe.
He was safe.
And I know Ollie appealed.
It was a...
Ollie reached out to the league and he wanted a better explanation.
It was a cover-up thing. Oh, we're not sure. We couldn't see if he had his hand on the plate. The catcher almost forced his hand down on the plate with his knee. And Bart was basically blocking the plate. He was right on top of it. But I don't know if the umpires thought Ollie was asking to see if there was a lane to score, obstruction, or that he was safe. But I think he was asking for both out of the ruling.
Yep.
And, we couldn't tell. Well, then, we could. It was easy to see. His hand was on the ground, and he probably had dirt all over it when Victor got up. But that's the way it went, and the fact that the Cardinals were up by four, or up by three after a four-run inning, if it had been a one-run ball game, there would have been a lot more thunder and lightning coming out of the Cardinal dugout on that call.
Yeah, and we did talk to Ollie Marmol on Gas House Gang yesterday, and he said, I think that was the last thing we talked to him about, it didn't factor in the win, but it did force him to use a pitcher he didn't want to have to use.
Exactly.
And
that could come up big either here today or could come up big when we get to Washington for the weekend. That's a long road trip coming up.
Yeah, but my real question is, how in the world does that happen? How do you miss that when everybody can see it?
I don't know. I have a couple of opinions, but I'll keep them to myself.
Oh, no, we want those.
No, I'll get in trouble over these. But I just wonder how some of those decisions come down. And it was the crew chief who made the call. And I've seen a crew chief overturn on a few calls, but not very many.
Well, I don't know. If we're going to take the time to do replay, stop the game and all of that, and we can all see what happened.
Yeah, get it right.
You got to get it right.
There have been times there have been calls against the Cardinals that a couple of them went the Cardinals' way. I'm going, oh, they missed that one. Then it's right there. I mean, we have the eye tells the story watching that, but I'm glad it didn't factor in the Cardinal game where it would have cost them a loss. But it was kind of strange, and Ricky and I looked at each other. Ricky said, I got an explanation here that it really is Monday or something. I said, that makes more sense than what we're going to hear out of that email. That's for sure, and I'll agree with that. But, by and large, the umpires are out there. They're trying. They don't go out there to do a bad job. There isn't anybody in this game that goes out there to do a bad job. And they hustle, they get into position, and they're human. There are going to be missed calls, but how they missed that one, that's still a mystery to me.
Hey, John, as we let you go, I was wondering, the way my brain is wired, I know.
You're going to be doing a solo here before too long because Ronji's going to get canned after what he said about Steve.
Yeah.
Well, this isn't going to help much, but man, I'm surrounded by, headlines and television chirons about the Cardinals. And I'll tell you what, there have been multiple headlines coming out of Rome that have to do with the conclave and the Cardinals there that my brain always thinks baseball first. Have you seen any conclave headlines that you've interpreted as the team?
No. I can't say that I have, but I wonder who is batting leadoff there in the voting. That would be.
Well, they do have favorites.
It's like the headline on CBS News that, the Cardinals are voting. My first thought is like, what does Ollie have them voting on?
Well, right now the chiron on Fox News says Cardinals take secrecy oath of ahead of vote.
Oh, wait a minute. I see white smoke coming out of the Cardinal clubhouse. So something has been selected down there. It's probably the batting order, which, the veterans, they want to be in there today, and they are the veterans. The regular lineup, Newt Barr, Wynn, Donovan, Arenado, Contreras, Burleson, Walker, Paez is behind the plate, and Victor Scott is batting ninth. They are having fun right now.
I'll tell you what that white smoke is. It's the hot dogs. The hot dogs in the ballpark. That's what that is.
All right, it's about that time. 12:15 today, guys. Nice working with you, Ron.
Hey, John, you're never going to believe this. Not even joking. Steve Moore just walked up by the window.
Gave us the thumbs up.
Oh, he did. No. And he said he was giving you the pink slip.
Yeah. No. He said, you're doing a great job. He said it through the window.
He said it to Amy.
That's right. John
that wasn't
gets
for
it.
You, Ron.
Yep.
Bye, John. We'll talk to you.
Bye now. Hey, have a good one.
Ball game for you today, and then Gas House Gang, you're with us again 12:30 on Friday. Don't forget.
Is that Friday?
Yeah. Oh.
What day is this?
Today is Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
See you then.
Talk to you then. Bye.
John Rooney, voice of the Cardinals with Rick Horton, Mike Claiborne on the broadcast as well. 11:20 for the pregame show that's coming up here on 104.1 FM KMOX and the free Odyssey app.
So I told you earlier that yesterday I was working my way back to watching what my mom calls other hockey. Because my mom, not a big sports lady, but she was watching the Blues playoffs with me. Mm-hmm. And she would come in sometimes into the family room and say, are you watching, is this Blues hockey? I'm like, no, this isn't the Blues. And she goes, you're watching other hockey? Like, that's too much. But then I got her to watch some other hockey, and she asked me last night, how are you doing? Are you watching other hockey yet? And I barely started. I have to stick with the Eastern Conference for now. The Western Conference hits too close to home. I will never watch the Jets and Stars series. But I watched a little bit about the Caps and the Canes, a series I don't care about with teams I don't really like. And it was okay. But yesterday, we put a poll up on Twitter at Chris Amy KMOX. Do you continue to watch the playoffs when your team has been eliminated? We didn't even specify which sport. Just, do you continue to watch the playoffs when your team has been eliminated? Yes or no? Ronj, which one do you think won?
I think it's a no. I think no probably barely won.
Did you cheat?
No. Okay. I swear to God, I didn't look.
No. 58%.
Uh-huh.
Yes, 42%.
I mean, 58's a pretty good win, but it's overwhelming.
It's not a thrashing.
That means it's still 42% of people are still watching the playoffs go on. That's a lot of people who don't, I guess it doesn't bother them, but I'm one of the people like you. I just can't, I have a very difficult time watching, especially if it's an emotional loss.
Yeah.
I have a real tough time moving on and watching the game again.
Because
it feels like seeing your ex-girlfriend who dumps you post photos with her new boyfriend on Instagram.
It's like it's like having your girlfriend.
Which, by the way, never happens to
me. Dump you on New Year's Eve and you go out to the restaurant you're supposed to go with her and she's there with another man.
No, that was just funny.
I will say this. If the Blues had lost 4-1, 5-2, I would probably be in a little bit better state right now. But just being 1 second away from the second round really, really hurt. And I want to keep watching hockey because I made a big deal about Hockey Amy being back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not great. It is not great. No Western Conference yet. I can't handle it. And like I said, it wasn't even fun yesterday. It was like taking medicine. That's how I felt. I turned on the game. I did other things on my computer, you know, paid some bills, made an eye doctor appointment.
Yeah. Okay.
Scheduled. Oh, my gosh. I do have a PSA. Remember how I was talking about the national park passes, and there's all different kinds of passes you can get. You can get, you know, a pass just for Yosemite. You can get a pass just for Grand Teton, and it's a day pass. Or if you're going to go to three national parks, you can buy the America the Beautiful pass. Oh. And it's so cool because it's a pass to all of the national parks in the country and national forests. And you can get it at the Arch because we are a national park.
Yep.
Guess where else you can get it? REI.
Oh.
The store.
Yeah, I know the store.
And that's, so I ordered my America the Beautiful pass while I was watching, half watching the Canes and Caps. And then you can go pick it up at the store.
Well, that's so convenient.
I think this is such an important PSA.
And then you
could
buy, you can go buy the equipment that you need.
Yeah, what?
Buy the equipment that you need to go scale a mountain.
I can't because you can't. That's what it's I'm not going to fly with an ice pick.
Oh.
And crampons.
What is that?
Crampons are like spikes that go on your shoes.
Oh.
So when you're crossing over glaciers.
Okay.
I don't like the name.
Yeah, I don't like that name either.
Oh, grow up.
No, it's just a little too familiar. Something about it I don't like.
Like a terminal?
Texter. Into the show at 314-436-7900.
Yeah.
Says, just, this is all it says, Pope John Paul Skeens.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. Well, we were talking about Paul Skeens and the Cardinals beating him again.
Oh,
and we've been talking about the Pope. They're electing a new Pope. They're starting the process today. So that's great.
Also, all these headlines about the Cardinals, it's so confusing.
I am not confused at all.
I am.
Because I know when I see St. Peter's in the background, I know that they're not talking about the St. Louis Cardinals.
But what about a headline? Like breaking news, Wall Street Journal, the Cardinals make a big decision. What is that? Did we trade somebody?
Oh, no, that's a great point. It would say St. Louis Cardinals. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but I don't assume that.
Amy Marks-Kors and Chris Ranji, few more minutes with all of us together. You and me and Amy and Matt and Frank Ladd and you. Because we got Cardinals baseball coming up very, very soon. The 1120 pregame show on 104.1 FM KMOX.